And thank all of you for joining us together tonight and our worship hour. It's always great to be able to assemble together on Sunday evening. And I announced this morning that I was going to be speaking on the subject of judging. And without really making judgment tonight, either some knew the answer to that or perhaps they didn't want to hear the answer to it. But for any Ray, you're here tonight, and that's great, and that's encouraging to all of us that are here as we have the opportunity to sing and discuss the truth of God's Word concerning this one subject. You know, so many times in life, people ask that question, is it proper for us to pass judgment on other people? Or is that wrong? And if Jesus said in the book of Matthew 7 and verse 1, judge not that you be not judged, for with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Is Christ actually condemning the concept of judgment? Well, let's talk about judging tonight, because I think there are a lot of concepts that people have that really are unwarranted according to the Bible. You've heard people say, well, you shouldn't judge anyone. I don't know how many times I hear people say that or make that comment. And if it's not that one, it's this one. I'm not going to judge anybody. Sometimes people will go ahead and judge them, and then they say, but, you know, I'm not going to judge anybody. They want to make sure they get their licks in. Or how about this one? Someone says to another, well, you know what? You're not the judge. Well, that's right. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, that's what Christ said in the book of Matthew 7 and verse 1. And we have to conclude from what Christ is saying that judging is wrong. But what does the Bible really say about that subject? And I want us to look at a number of things tonight relative to that one question. There are a lot of questions that need answering when we think about that one subject. Is judging wrong? We might immediately say, oh yes, it's wrong. It's wrong to judge. But what does judge not mean in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1? You have to conclude when you read that text in the entirety that all judging is not wrong. There is judging that is forbidden, but there is judging that is permitted as well. If we can judge then, and if we can judge that to be true, then how is it to be done? Isn't the Lord the righteous judge? Does that make us unrighteous judges? Not necessarily. If we're judging in the right way, well, what right does anyone have to judge another? You know, sometimes I guess you can answer that question that judging is yes and no in some instances. But you know, we have a lot of people that are partial, however, in their judging of other people. They are. And give you an example. It was a church member one time who actually called a preacher and said, preacher, a tornado just destroyed my house and my barn. And the preacher says, well, I'm not surprised. He said, punishment for sin is inevitable. And the man got real quiet, but then he said, but preacher, it destroyed your house also. And the minister said, well, you know, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. We don't always understand. You know, sometimes we always say what's good for the goose is good for the gander. But the idea is that sometimes we permit certain things in our life that we condemn in other people. And we know the Pharisees were real good about doing that. Sometimes they would point the finger at someone else and say, you're guilty. But then, as the old saying goes, when you point a finger at someone else to judge him, you have three fingers that are pointing back at you. And we have to be very, very careful sometimes in our judgment of other people. Sometimes men are so judgmental of women. How many of you have ever noticed that? And all the men said amen, yeah. And all women. There was a man one time who was driving to the office one morning. He said, I noticed a woman who was driving 65 miles an hour. Now get this picture. With her face up next to her rear view mirror, putting her eyeliner on. He said, I looked away, and the next thing you know, she was halfway in my lane, still putting on her makeup. You ever seen that happen? Well, the man went on to say, I don't scare easily, but she scared me so much that I dropped my electric shaver, which knocked the donut out of my hand, and in all of the confusion of trying to straighten out the car using my knees against the steering wheel, it knocked my cell phone away from my ear, which fell into my coffee that was stuck between my legs. It ruined the phone, soaked my trousers, and disconnected a very, very important call. All because of that crazy woman driver. Well, we know that we are people that are prone to find fault in everybody. Do you know that we are, aren't we? To judge means, according to Webster, to condemn, to point out sins or error, or make some kind of determination about someone else. Listen, counting other people's sins, I thought this quote, and I thought it was great, does not make you a saint. Now, a lot of times we go through life trying to pick out the flaws and the faults of other people. People do that in the church quite often. We do. Well, let's talk about judging. No one, first of all, no one really believes it's wrong. And you know why I say that? It's because people practiced it. Now, if you really thought it was wrong, you wouldn't be judging other people, would you? Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you measure out, it shall be measured unto you again. Well, then, if that is the case, is it wrong to judge? Think about this just a minute. If we say that someone sins, are they wrong? Just simply because we say it, we look at their life, and we say, well, they're a sinner. Does that make them a sinner? If we say that they're wrong, does that make them wrong? If we say on presumption or judgment that they are lost, does that mean that they're lost? Does that mean that they will lose their soul? Wrong. Just because I perceive something doesn't necessarily mean that someone is guilty. It doesn't mean that just because I think that someone is wrong, that they're necessarily wrong. But think about this one on the other hand. If we say that someone is good, or that they did right, or that they are Christians, or they're going to heaven, does that mean that they're going to heaven? Well, we say, oh, yeah, that's okay. But is that true? I've seen preachers preach ungodly people, as we often say, into heaven. I mean, you know, it's amazing sometimes, isn't it? The transformation that takes place from when you draw your last breath until they come to the memorial service for your funeral. A person can be an ungodly man or an ungodly woman. And then a preacher, man, I bet you hear this a lot. And people get up and talk about what righteous folks they are and how they're going to heaven. I heard about a lady one time and her young son who was sitting out in the audience at her husband's memorial service. She knew what a scoundrel he was. He was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. He treated everybody cruelly. There was no kind bone in the man's life. And the preacher began to extol the great virtues of this individual. And the wife looked at her son and said, son, go look in that casket. I think they got the wrong man. Just because we say they're going to heaven, or just because we say they're okay, does that mean that in actuality? No, because in reality, both are judging. Are they not? Both are judging. Let's talk about the judging that is forbidden. I told you, and we're going to get to the other dimension of this also, the judging that is permitted. But I want to talk about the judging that is prohibited, okay? Judging that is forbidden. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, Jesus says, judge not. Let me read this for you. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure, he says, you use, you will be measured in the same way or back to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the little speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? And Jesus just simply says, hypocrite. There would be nothing more hypocritical than this one thing. He says, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly how to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Now, it doesn't sound to me like Jesus is condemning every aspect of judging. But I have learned in life that compassion will cure more sin than condemnation. You know, in the book of John, the 8th chapter, when the adulterous woman was taken outside of the city and they were getting ready to stone her according to the law, the Bible says that Jesus makes his way into that scene. And while he is there, he notices that these younger men, the older men, every one of them have a big part in this, they're getting ready to stone her. And Jesus just stoops over and he writes something with his finger in the sand or in the ground. Now, we don't know what he wrote. And by the way, did you know that's the only time in the Bible where we find record of Jesus ever writing anything? But when he wrote in that sand, then he says, ye that are without sin, cast the first stone. And the Bible says that they, the eldest and the younger also, they all walked away. And Jesus is there with that woman by himself. And he looks at her and he says, woman, where are your accusers or your judges? And she says, Lord, I have none. And he says, neither do I condemn thee, but go your way and sin no more. Sometimes we are guilty of trying to pass judgment on people. We are. Let he who has not sinned cast the first stone. You see, they all laid their rocks down. They decided they were not going to be in the stone-throwing business. John, the 8th chapter, and verse 4. You know what? Instead of judging people by their past, stand by them and help them repair their future. You know what? Every one of us have a past, don't we? You know, people are always talking about the past of other people, what happened years ago. And people are ready to bring all of that garbage out and lay it out in front of everybody else instead of trying to help them repair their life and build for their future. I dare say that in this audience tonight, none of us have the right to pick up stones. None of us, me included. What we need to do is get the plank out of our eye. Now, that's really what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7. He says it's kind of like the guy that's over there trying to get that little bit of speck. You ever had someone come up to you and try to get the speck out of your eye? I've had that happen. Most generally, people walk up blowing someone's eye. You remember that? Know how they do that? Sometimes, you know, a speck is so small, so tiny, it's just hard to get it out of someone else's eye. Especially if you have a big plank or a log that is sticking out of your own eye. It's impossible to do it. And that's why Jesus says, hey, you know what? Before you reach over there to try to take the little speck out, why don't you get the big log out of your own eye? Judging that is forbidden, Matthew 7, judge not. And in the book of James 4, verse 11 and 12, James says, who are you to judge? Who are we to pass judgment on other people? Sometimes our judgment of other people is cruel. When a woman was asked one time in front of a judge about her occupation, the woman was charged with a traffic violation, and she was a school teacher. The judge rose from his bench, and he says, Madam, I have been waiting for years for a school teacher to appear in this court. And he smiled with delight. And he says, now I want you to sit down at that table and write, I will not pass through a red light 500 times. Sometimes our judgment of other people is unfounded and unfair. And that's why I ask a question. Listen to what he says. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, he says, you're not a doer of the law, but you are a judge. And there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Well, what he's saying is that we have to cease to speak evil about the brethren. And sometimes people do that. They slander one another. Not only do they try to point out the sin of someone else, but they try to make it better. It's kind of like the person that tries to put, when someone's on the scale, they put their foot on the scale to try to make them weigh more. You know what I'm talking about? Backbiting and evil reports, it is often prompted by pride or envy. It is. And we judge the law by willful violation of the law. Only God has the right to make laws. And you know what? You and I need to pay more attention to our Creator than to our critics. That's something you need to remember. But let's talk about judging that is commanded. Now, it almost sounds counter, doesn't it, to what I've said thus far when I say, you know, God says don't judge. But then, on the other hand, I think we could safely say tonight that certain judgment is okay. Matter of fact, it's even commanded of God. And let me illustrate. The Bible says if we're going to judge, we should exercise it with, righteous judgment. Judge with, listen, not partial judgment. Sometimes we judge based on feeling and not on fact. John 7 and verse 24, do not judge according to appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. Read on down in that text in the book of John 7, and you'll find a number of things there where Christ deals with this subject. Jesus healed on the Sabbath, but he was condemned by the Jews. They were judging unrighteously. Jesus said, if the ox is in the ditch, what do you do? Leave it in the ditch? No. He said, even if it's on the Sabbath, you go and get the ox out of the ditch. But some people judge others. Sometimes based upon feelings and not on facts. They don't know the whole story. The basis for righteous judgment is the Word of God, what God permits. The judging commanded is righteous judgment. And judge when one is in sin. in Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Again, not condemning all judgment or condemning. He isn't doing that. But you judge who is a false prophet. Did you know that? In verse 15, that's what he said. He said, there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world and hereby will deceive many. That tells me that you have to exercise a certain degree of judgment as to whether or not someone is teaching the truth or not teaching the truth. We have a lot of preachers today that are standing in the pulpit and preaching things that are not, listen, true. And we have to make a judgment based upon whether or not they are actually telling the truth. And you know how you make that judgment? Righteous judgment with the Word of God. That's how you do it. And God says it is a, listen, it is a thing that we must do. You will be judged like we judge others. I don't have any problem people judging me as to whether or not I preach the truth or preach the gospel. I'm not ashamed of what I say. I don't try to tickle the ears of people. My goal is to honor God. And then if we find that we are in sin, we need to correct ourselves and then correct others. But we must determine if one is in sin. We should. You see, the book of Matthew 7, verse 15 through 20, he says that you will know a tree by the fruit it bears. Now, isn't that judgment? We judge every day. We do. All judging is not bad. He says, if you see a tree that's bearing a certain kind of fruit, you know what it is. And he said, here's the thing. If you see a so-called Christian bearing bad fruit, you are judging righteously when you acknowledge the fact that they are not bearing good fruit. The Bible in the book of Galatians chapter 6 says, brethren, if you see a brother that is overtaken in a fault, now I want you to listen to this, overtaken in it. Now that, listen, I want you to really listen to this, folks. This doesn't mean if you say, well, I don't like what he does, or I don't like what she does. He says, if the brother is overtaken in a fault, that means they are overcome with their sin. Sometimes we got a lot of little judges that like to run around judging everybody else and judging unrighteously. If you see a brother that is overtaken a fault, he says, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. And I want you to listen to this. In the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We have to judge. We make judgments all the time as to who is a sinner and who is a saint. James chapter 5, don't we? Sure we do. And we must determine that. The Bible says that if one is wicked, he needs to be disciplined. 1 Corinthians 5. We know that the Corinthian church preached that, practiced that. And listen, if someone walks disorderly in the body of Christ, we have these words from Paul in the book of 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, that you withdraw fellowship from those people, not to isolate them, not to excommunicate them, but to bring them back to God. And that is a thing of judging, but it is a thing of righteous judging. And if someone has sinned against us, I want you to notice what Jesus said in the book of Luke chapter 17. He said, if someone has, let me just paraphrase this. He says, if someone has hurt you or someone has sinned against you, and they come saying, I repent, forgive me, then you forgive them. Now, that's what Christ said. He did. And it is something that we must do, and we make a judgment, do we not? You know, you can judge by whether or not a person's really repented. If there's no change in his life. You know, as I've told the congregation down Jasper this week, there are a lot of people that come forward sometimes to report their sin, but not to repent of it. There are people that come up. Let me tell you how that plays out. They come up front and they say, if I have sinned against anyone, if I have sinned, there's a big question in their mind. It's not that they think they've even sinned, but it's if I have sinned, that I want the prayers of the church. Now listen to the difference. On the other hand, a person who realizes that he's a sinner, that he's done wrong, comes to the front of the building and says, I'm not here to report, but I'm here to repent. I want the church to know that I'm repenting of my sins. I'm changing my life. I brought reproach upon the body of Christ and hereby repent. And Jesus says, bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. And the Bible goes on to say in Romans chapter 16 that you mark those that cause division among you and you avoid them. Doesn't that involve judgment? Absolutely does. But we should be very, very careful not to judge according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment, John 7 and verse 24. So there is judging that is commanded by God. Judge righteously. Exercise the kind of judgment that God has taught us to exercise. And judge when one is in sin and if one is teaching the truth. Now, that's another area where we have to judge, isn't it? How many of you have ever been sitting in an audience and you hear someone up teaching or preaching? Sometimes I'll turn on television and run the gamut sometimes of all these TV preachers and what they're saying. And very easy to determine whether or not they're teaching the truth or whether they're distorting the truth. But if we don't know the Word of God, we won't know whether they are or whether they aren't. But you have to make a judgment call, don't you? Sure you do. That's why in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now that tells me God's commanding judgment, isn't he? When you try the spirits, that means you're listening to it. You're making a judgment call whether or not they are really teaching the truth. And reject one who doesn't bring sound doctrine. 2 John verse 9 and 11. He that goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. And he says, you don't even bid them Godspeed. You don't say to them, bless you, brother, go your way. If one is teaching the truth, you accept it. But if they're not, you reject it. When it comes to judging other people, where to start when confronting someone that is caught in sin? Now, there are a lot of people that believe that they're so perfect that they have the right to go and call down someone who's made a mistake. And they do it very harshly, very abruptly, and that causes people to leave the body of Christ. It is not done in the spirit of meekness and love like God says. So we have to be very, very careful. And one thing we need to do is start with self. And then what Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you measure out, it shall be measured unto you again. You know? Think about that one. You've got to think about yourself. And so when you're judging, you better make sure that it's righteous judgment. And you better make sure that you're looking at your own life. And you've got the big beam out of your eyes so you can fairly judge other people. The standard is not self. The standard is not how things appear. And the standard is not our opinion. Sometimes people get the idea that if you don't take my opinion, then, you know, you're wrong, which is not necessarily true at all. But the standard is, and I put that in big bold letters, it is the Word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 14. And Paul talks about a coming judgment day wherein God is going to judge us. And Paul mentions that in his book, in the book of 1 Corinthians 5. Jesus spoke about it in the book of Matthew 7, in the book of John the 8th chapter, and many, many other places. That day is coming. And I know one thing, that the one who will be judging me is a righteous judge. I could be condemned by everybody else and still be accepted by the righteous judge because he knows all the facts. And that's one of the reasons I think Jesus said you better be careful in your judgment of other people. Because if you condemn them and you're judging unrighteously, what's going to happen? He says, you know, that same judgment over here you used, well, it's coming right back to haunt you. It'll be used on you. 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not only to me, but to all of those that love his appearing. Isn't that a great thought? And I want to close with this thought tonight. When it comes to passing judgment on others, we had better get it right. We had. How will God judge you? How will he judge you? That's a question that all of us have to stop and ask ourselves. How will he judge me? I'd want God to judge with righteous judgment, not on surmising or assuming or feeling or opinion, but upon truth. And I hope that if we really believe that, then when we go out this week, and you do judge, and you will be judging, I can tell you we'll be judging, we all do it. But you better make sure that you exercise righteous judgment. And if you feel that maybe you've wounded others by your unrighteous judgment, then it would be wise for you to repent of it. Make a change. If you're not a Christian, it would be wise for you to be baptized into Christ tonight for the remission of your sins at the command of Christ. That's our lesson. If you're subject tonight to the call of Jesus, we urge you come while we stand and while we sing.